sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of mercy, love and power. Come ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty glorified. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me, call me his own. In the arms of my dear Savior, my restless soul will find a home. Come ye weary, heavy laden, come ye burdened and alone, look a river, living water, flowing out of rock and stone. I will arise and go. Me his own. In the arms of my dear Savior, my restless soul will find a home.
Thank you, Jackson. It's good news. It's good news. It is so good to be with you all on this snowy day. I'm not going to say who, but somebody said, I don't know if you can only preach for 10 minutes. Watch me. It was really hard to know where to go with the sermon because whenever I saw the sermon theme, Promises of Jesus, I thought, oh my goodness, how do we, and I am with you was the promise. How do we pick one of the passages in Scripture where it talks about Jesus being with people? I thought about the irony of preaching about Mary being with child, Mary being with Jesus, and Jesus being with Mary. That would have been a curveball. Or Jesus being with the John the Baptist as they went into the waters of baptism, or Jesus being with Peter and Andrew and James and John as he called them in Matthew chapter 4 to come and to follow him. Jesus and the woman at the well, when he's with the woman who's about to be harmed, when Jesus is with Nicodemus and all of his questions in John chapter 3, when Jesus is with the woman who gives all that she has in the offering, when Jesus is with Mary and Martha at Lazarus's tomb, when Jesus is with his disciples in the middle of the storm, when Jesus is with his disciples when he washes all of their feet, when Jesus is with the hungry listeners who have nothing to eat and he's worried about the food in their bellies. When Jesus is with Paul as he goes to persecute those who are followers of the way on the road to Damascus, Jesus is with Paul. When Jesus is with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, or when Jesus is with those with the thief on the cross. Christ's promise in Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," is a promise to cling to. It's good news for anyone who hears it. I am with you always. I picked Matthew chapter 9 in part because it ticks a few different boxes of Jesus with us ideas. So hang with me. Are you ready? It's three C's. Yeah. Okay. It's not that, it's just normal, three C's. Okay. Comforts, convicts, and compels. Can you say it with me? Comforts, convicts, compels. One more time. Comforts, convicts, compels. I have pages and pages of notes, but I'm just going to give you the good stuff. The notes are good too. Inasmuch as the promise that Jesus has overcome the world that Pastor Lori has preached about 2 weeks ago, or that Jesus loves us that Pastor Sarah preached about, this promise that I am with you, for me first, brings comfort. It brings comfort for all of the hard and terrible times that we face in life, in the midst of injustice and brokenness, harm. It's good news that Jesus is with us. Because as it says in the Hebrew Bible, God's arm isn't too short to reach out and save us. There's something that we do whenever it gets cold. We have bunny rabbits, and we bring them onto the back porch and put them in a little bunny, whatever it's called, carrier. And I have to reach, and I have to plug in the space heater, the little oil one that's safer than the kind of ones, you know what I'm talking about? It looks like an accordion, but it's less functional for music making. I have to reach along the side of our deep freezer, and I have to plug it in because I have the longest arm in our family. And it takes, I always think for some reason, I'm going to be able to plug in this heater by just like casually reaching down and doing it. No, I have to lay completely down on the ground, and I have to reach all the way along the side of this deep freezer. And some of you right now, some of you are thinking, so how can we get Seth some apparatus that helps him not have to do this every couple weeks this winter? But this is about exactly how far my arm can reach. And if I hold the cord like this far out, do you know what I'm talking about? And I like, I'm not even holding the part that's supposed to hold. And I can like kind of, and it's in. And then I call Jackson because I pulled three muscles in my back. God with us, Jesus, is comfort because God's arm is not too short to save. Whatever pit we have found ourselves in, whatever real harm, real disorientation, real desert, it's really, really good that Jesus is with us. And the call to come and follow Jesus that we have in Matthew 9, when Jesus calls Matthew, or whatever his name is, Matthew is in the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus calls Matthew, the call to follow me is good enough and powerful enough and strong enough to let them let go of whatever they had in their hands and to come, freeing us from all that would hold us captive. When Jesus calls the other disciples who are fishing, it frees them from those entanglements with family and with their vocation, with this boat that they're fishing from, with their parents who they're there with all of the things. Those are not bad things. We all have different family systems. It's like they let go of all those things. In Matthew 9, the call to come and follow is a freeing word. It frees Matthew from the things that held him as an outcast, as someone who was morally reprehensible, as someone who was lumped in with murderers and thieves. He could not give testimony because nobody trusted him. The call to come and follow him was good news. That is comforting. Oh my goodness, I'm preaching normal. This is not supposed to be this long. Okay, Jesus has come for the sick and those who are tied down, those who need saving. And that is a comforting word. Amen? Amen. I come from like the mountains of Pennsylvania. Amen? Amen. Okay. The second word, it's okay. I'm just really excited and I missed you so much. The second part is convicting. And it it's so convicting because some of us, like the Pharisees, are religiously serious folks. I've used this before whenever I preached, but and it's not my term. It's Frederick Dale Bruner. He talks about the religiously serious. So anytime he sees Pharisees in Scripture, he says, the religiously serious. And I am a fairly religiously serious person, despite me laying down on the ground and trying to plug in my freezer. Like, my faith matters to me. I have a high view of Scripture. I believe that faith can't live in our head. It actually has to be lived out with our hands and with our finances and with how we budget our time and with where we live and with how we make space to be a part of God's mission in the world. I'm a religiously serious person. And every time I read this story, I like to be Matthew. But I think that I need to feel with the religiously serious Pharisees what they're feeling. Because in Matthew 9, Jesus is sitting with all the wrong people. He's not doing any of the separating things that shows up in Exodus or that shows up in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the one who does not sit in the... You can look it up later. I don't have time. For those of us who are sometimes disgustingly healthy... Oh, ouch. That's not my word. This is also good news because it turns our heart towards Jesus. Jesus is in the business of liberating people from their predisposed prejudices. And the Pharisees need some liberating work of God in their life in this passage. As much as Matthew 8, Jesus identifies with the leper, the Gentile, and the woman, here in chapter 9, it's an amoral, terrible, no good for nothing tax collector. And Jesus is with him too. And Jesus is with all of us as we turn towards Jesus in our hearts and are convicted. Last one, compels. 9:13, chapter 9, verse 13. Do you remember what it says? Jesus says, go. I have it written down. I'm cheating. Okay. You all didn't memorize it when you saw it was my sermon text this morning? Okay. On her hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come not to call to the righteous, but sinners. One translation I read of this, it says, go back and study Scripture. Go back and study Scripture. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That's Hosea 6:6. Jesus invites us to go back and read the words of life. There's words of life in there. And yes, if you take this passage and you really pull it apart and really look at it, there's a conversation between Scripture. Because there's a bunch of Scripture that says, like, don't defile yourself by, don't be around these people, right? There's lots of passages of Scripture in the Hebrew Bible that says that. Jesus focuses on the prophets in this passage, and he holds that in conversation. This is complex, difficult work. And one of the reasons why we as Anabaptists do this work in community. We read Scripture for ourselves, we engage in spiritual practices, and we also do it in community. Because all that stuff that the Pharisees are holding in the back of their brain is in the Bible. And the stuff that Jesus is holding and that Jesus brings forward to them and tells them to go back and learn about is also in Scripture. Christ's love compels us to learn. That was the best line I wrote down last night. I wrote most of my sermon before last night, I promise. It compels us to learn, and I don't think I've thought about that. Like, the joy of knowing Christ and these words of life and being able to, like, receive them and let them take root into our lives. It compels us to learn. It compels us to love. It compels us to listen well. It compels us to let go. For Christ's love compels us because we believe. You can look it up later. I don't have time. Because of Christ's great love, we can see that we too don't have everything together like those religiously serious folks, and we're actually all in this together. We are the people that he has come to put right. And in Jesus are words of life and hope and healing. So what I want you to do, I'm out of time. What I want you to do is I want you to receive this passage and this promise as a blessing. A blessing that will bring comfort in the moments whenever everything is wrong. Everything is wrong. Some of you are in the thick of that. It's a blessing because it will convict. It will turn our hearts back. That's all I'm talking about by convict. It will turn our hearts back towards Jesus in the moments where we find ourselves off and wandering. And it will compel us. It will strengthen us and send us forth into the world to be the hands and feet of Jesus, filled with healing and hope, so that God's good news can be made known. Amen. Amen. Amen.